What is going on, guys, and welcome back to the Create Lab podcast with Joe B. Today we're going to talk about different squat programs. We're in the month of October, so a lot of people are doing Squattober as they go throughout the month. And we decided to just talk about how we feel about different squat programs that are out there. Obviously, there's a hatch cycle, there's conjugate, there's a 5-3-1 system, there's a 10 rep max method. We just sat down and we talked about different squat programs. So hopefully you learn a little bit about, you know, what we've seen and what we like and dislike about different squat programs that are out there, and what we've experienced and how we feel about them all. So hope you learned something. Hope you enjoy. Don't forget to like and subscribe to this podcast so you never miss an episode. And hope you enjoy. Have a good one. All right, guys, what's going on? We're going to talk today, like I said, we're going to talk about Squattober and different types of squat cycles that people go on. I think a lot of people get, you know, so in-depth with squat cycles, they want to go on different squat cycles all the time, but few have tried anything different than the typical 12-week squat cycles that you see in average gyms. And I have Joe here today. We're going to talk about different squat cycles we've tried and what we've seen work or what we've seen doesn't work. So, Joe, what do you think about, like, squat cycles and stuff like that?
Man, I actually talk about this all the time. I don't really believe in squat cycles per se anymore myself. I believe we should be squatting all the time. Obviously, you should take little deloads and stuff like that. But right now, what we do is, for the most part throughout the year, is we just go and just like pendulum waves, like Louie and them. But we won't do like a max effort day. So what I'll do is I'll have, like I've told you before, usually I'll try and mix in some heavy complexes or something in the Olympic lifts to hit the max effort. So on squat days, like, we'll back squat, say, on Monday and front squat on Friday. And we'll just, 90% of the time, we're just doing dynamic effort squats. And we'll hit, like, 24 reps at 70%. The next week, we'll go 75%. The next week, we'll go 80. Then we drop back down. We might go up, like, 2.5%. So we'll go, like, 72.5, 77.5, 82.5. And then we'll drop back down. And what I try to do is make it where my, I try to teeter it. So, like, if we're front squatting on Monday and back squatting on Friday, I'll try to be, like, 2 weeks off. So, like, when my back squats are heavy, my fronts are heavier, quote-unquote, but they're still not that heavy. We still should be able to move them well. We're lighter in the front squats, so they're never really heavy at the same time, if that makes sense. That's where we're at as far as squats go right now. But I'd say some of my favorite squat cycles, I think one of the best squat cycles to use, and you can use it with really any level of athlete, is at least for some portion of time, is a 20 rep program. I think that's awesome, because you can start from scratch. You can start with an empty barbell and build up. With seasoned athletes, you could start at like 60% and then, you know, do your 20 rep and keep going for however many weeks. You can go add 5 or 10 pounds until you can't do 20 reps. I just feel like that helps build physical but mental toughness, that 20 rep squat program. So I would say that's one of my favorites, but that's also, you're limited to as how much and how long and how much you can do that.
Yeah.
You know, but that would be one of my favorites. We've done 5-3-1, which I think is a great program. I've never really done like a hatch cycle. I know we've done it back in the day at Solify, all different kind of cycles. But like I said, I firmly believe in squatting pretty much all the time, but being really smart about the volume you're putting in and having an intent when you do it.
Yeah, I feel the same way. So yeah, I remember back in the day we used to do hatch cycles at Solify. The problem with hatch cycles, though, they get boring. I mean, you're just going to the gym Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and you're just squatting, you know, and it gets boring, gets old, it's the same percentages over and over again. And then after those 12 weeks, you know, yeah, you hit a 5-pound PR or 10-pound PR, but the problem with that is, in my personal opinion, if you don't PR after a 12-week cycle, man, that was just a complete waste of 12 weeks. Yep. You better guarantee me I'm gonna PR on a 12-week squat cycle. That's just my personal opinion on that. You know, that's why. So we don't do them here. I'm not a huge fan of them. And if all I was doing, well, if all I cared about was my squat, then yeah, it's great. But one thing I noticed whenever I did those 12-week squat cycles, my Metcons sucked. Like, they went down dramatically. Or all my other lifts went down, minus my squats. So those, I was sore, I was tired, and every other thing that I was training for went down. But my squats went up. So to me, the risk-reward or benefit ratio just wasn't there. Like, I never understood, you know, why as a CrossFit gym we cared so much about hatch cycles and stuff. And if I knew that my only goal was the games, then yeah, hatch cycle would make sense, like leading up to games is my end goal. But it's not, you know, games are not my end goal. We do competitions, we have competitions all the time.
Yep.
So a 12-week cycle just kind of puts you out of the picture. It gives you a 5-pound, 10-pound PR. But again, what did you lose in the process?
I think that's what you said is key. Like, almost everybody we deal with is not there just to get a stronger back squat, right? They're whether it's a normal everyday athlete that's just coming to the gym for an hour, or it's one of your competitive athletes, they're trying to be better at a whole bunch of different things at one time.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I found staying with those, you know, kind of going off Prilipin's chart and staying in those dynamic effort waves, you could get people stronger and more powerful and keep them not beat up for everything else.
Yeah.
I think I honestly think that's the best way to do it. I've got a lot of fucking practice with it now and a lot of feedback to kind of prove my argument on that. But like I said, there is benefit to some of these squat cycles if you really focused on one thing at one time.
Yeah, there's some great benefits. Like, you know, like I said, we were talking about earlier, Squattober. I think it's a stupid thing to sit there and wait till October to start squatting every day. I squat every week.
Yep.
You know, I squat twice a week every week.
Same here.
I don't see why you can't just do that every month of the year. Why do you have to wait till October to do it? I hate these stupid months that people dedicate to a certain lift. You know, are you going to bench for, you know, bench press January? I don't know. Whatever you want to do.
I'm down.
You know, if you're training for a sport specific work, like, why are you waiting until October to squat? I think it's a silly thing to do.
Should be squatting a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, I watched a Louis Simmons seminar one time, and he talks about he got into an argument with somebody. He was like, "Oh, we'll see you in 12 weeks." He's like, "Well, screw that. I'll see you in 3 weeks." He's like, "I don't need 12 weeks to get ready."
Yep.
You know, why do you need 12 weeks to get ready? I just need 3 weeks to get ready. You know, and that's why I like the way we do things here, and we have that 3 week wave, 3 week pendulum wave, where every fourth week we'll change the lift out.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll back squat for 3 weeks, then we'll front squat for 3 weeks, and we'll overhead squat for 3 weeks, and it keeps us constantly moving through, and it gives us 4 times a year to PR our back squat, 4 times a year to PR our front squat, 4 times a year to PR our deadlift and our overhead squats. I love doing that, and again, it keeps me motivated, because even if I have a crappy back squat cycle, it's okay. 2 more weeks and I'm on the front squats. I just make it up on my front squats.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I'm very similar. I don't change the lift as much. I will change, like, we might be front squatting with the bands, and in the same week back squatting without them. And then in the next wave, we'll back squat with the bands and then front squat without them. Deadlifts, I'll rotate them in only every so often, because I feel like we do so much pulling with the snatches, and
yeah,
we hit percentages in snatches and cleans that I think kind of make up for some of the speed work you can lose by not deadlifting so much. I do like to deadlift in waves once in a while, though, just to kind of see if everybody's kind of at least maintaining their strength there. A lot of times I find out, you know, people's strength will go up without us even doing it that much. What we just did recently, and I can give you feedback on this very soon, is this first time I've tried this. So like I told you, we usually front squat on Monday, back squat on Friday, or vice versa. Sometimes I'll change it up just to get people out of a routine.
Yeah.
Like, well, when we finish a wave, I might come in and say, "Hey, we're back squatting on Monday." And they're like, "Well, we just back squatted on Friday." And I'm like, "Is there a rule that says we can't do it again on Monday?" Like, you just got to throw people off sometimes. But anyways, we've been front squatting in the dynamic effort waves on Mondays for the last 6 weeks. And, you know, we cycled up, 3-week wave, came back down, did it again. And in that process on Friday, we started at 80% of your max back squat, and you did 3x5, you had to end at 80%. So your top set had to be at 80%. And then, so say, you know, off of like 425 would be 340. And whatever you want to do for your first two sets to get there was fine. So if you wanted to go like 315, 330, 340. But each week for 6 weeks, I wanted people to add to that top set. So by the end of 6 weeks, you know, say you started at 340, you could be getting a 5-rep back squat at 390. It's pretty damn good, right? So that, then we took a deload week here, and we're going to max back squat on Monday. So I'm interested to see how that relays.
Yeah,
that's to a 1-rep max. We haven't 1-repped in a long time, but I feel like what I've seen people move in the 5 reps week by week, I feel like it should go really well on Monday.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you know, if people have a good weekend and recover well and whatever, you know.
It's 5 reps. So that's always interesting too, because in my personal opinion, if you're a beginner, if you're starting out from scratch, never done squats before, the best program out there to start with is the 531 Jim Lindler cycle.
Awesome.
I think that is the best way to start.
Yep.
It's simple, it's to the point, but it's one of the best methods out there just to get started. I was talking to, and then, you know, I've done a lot of Louis Simmons type seminars for, I've done a lot of Louis Simmons, you know, videos and stuff like that. And he talks, you know, he's very adamant about 1-rep maxing all the time.
Yep.
You know, that Bulgarian system. Only 1-rep maxes, because anything over a 1-rep max is an absolute strength, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I see where he's going with that. You know, it definitely, he knows more than I do, you know,
yeah.
For sure. But other than powerlifting, you need more than just absolute strength, 1-rep yeah. maxes. You know, in CrossFit, we do a lot of 3-rep maxes. We do 5-rep maxes. I've done a competition where they did a 10-rep max.
Yep.
You know, so we can't just train that 1-rep max absolute strength stuff. So we typically do, you know, we'll do, we're in a 5-rep, 3-rep, 1-rep max wave right now as far as our front squats and back squats are concerned. And then we do a lot of 5x5s here. I know.
So you go on each week, 5-rep, then a 3-rep, then a 1-rep?
Yeah. So on Monday we did a 5-rep max front squat. Next week we'll do a 3-rep max, and then we'll go for a 1-rep max.
I like that.
And we're constantly just building up that volume. That gives us a lot of volume too. Today we're doing 5x5 front squats at 75%. And a lot of that 5x5 stuff works great. And I talked to Shane Sweat. He teaches the CrossFit powerlifting course. And he learned long ago, and then, you know, after sitting down and talking with him, they do 7x3s, 8x2s. They've done 6x4s. And he said what he's seen with his CrossFit and powerlifting athletes is a 5x5 dynamic effort has seen the best carryover.
Really?
And we started doing that, and I've seen nothing but carryover into their, you know, ability to maintain strength endurance over time.
See, what I like to do is, see, 5x5 is great. I think that is like the, if it can be done correctly, that's like the gold standard, right?
Yeah.
So if I have somebody who can't move, like say we're 5x5 at 70%, then next week 75, next week 80, perfect world. But if I have somebody that I know is struggling moving 70% the way it should be moved for rep 4 and 5, when we go to the next week, I'm going to have them go 8x3, right? So they're going to get, instead of 25 reps, they're going to get 24. It's almost the same volume, but they're going to be able to move the bar better.
Right? Yeah.
I'd rather you move the bar better for 3 reps than have 5 sets with 2 really shitty reps at the end. If I give you 8 sets with 3 really good reps, I feel like you're going to get more out of that than if, you know, because you're almost getting the same exact amount of volume, but you're going to be able to move the bar more properly every time, as opposed to like, because some athletes struggle with like moving with speed, moving with proper form, their core might wear out. So if I could keep them moving well, eventually we can get them to that 5x5. So I feel like, depending on what you're dealing with, I will adjust that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's definitely, and that's another thing a lot of people don't, you know, I've dealt with this a lot, you know, training people. And I see it a lot with people when they do their, you know, their own programs. They don't understand volume.
No clue.
No idea. And it's I'm like, yeah, but how many reps did you do over? And they have to do the math. You should know how many reps your grand scheme of things are going. Mm-hmm. You know what? When you, as soon as you program, you should know exactly how many reps and the total volume of how much weight you lifted was before you go in there and squat.
Yeah.
Because I mean, that's what it's all about. It's about the total volume that you lifted. You know, if you can't do 5x5s, okay, cool. Are you? You know, if you do 6x4s, you're only missing one repetition out of that total volume. You know,
yeah.
It's you know, but if you that fifth rep every time is slowing you down, then you're not getting the benefit of that 5x5. So you do go to 6x4,
yeah.
Or you do 7x3, or whatever it is that you're looking for. If you're looking for speed, or you're looking for quality movement, or you're looking for whatever, you have to know the total volume of weight that you're lifting. And I think a lot of people are missing that when they program these things, or they just see it on SugarWatt or Wattify or whatever. They just say, "Oh, there it is.
Yep.
That's what I'm doing." They don't even know what they're how much weight they're lifting.
Yeah, it's hard too, because like I deal with people who have been training a lot, right? I'm like I said, we talked about this before, I'm lucky. Most people I deal with have been training for a while and have been around it. Doesn't mean they're better than anybody, doesn't mean they're the best at what they do. A lot of them aren't even close, but they have experience training. But the reason I say that is it's still very hard to even make them understand that sometimes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So just think of the average, 9 o'clock person who might have been only working out for like 3 months. A lot of people don't understand squat volume at all. And then there's people who have been in gym for years and they drive me nuts because they have given zero effort towards learning any of that stuff, you know. And some of them run gyms and coach, and that's even more frustrating.
Yeah.
You know, like some that drives me nuts is like a gym or a coach or an owner being like, well, we haven't squatted in so long. And I'm like, what the fuck do you mean? Excuse my language.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean you haven't squatted in so long?
What are you doing?
What are you guys doing? You know, like, that's a big part of...
That's the base of all movements right there.
Yeah, yeah. And like we just talked about, it doesn't need to be... You don't need to be squatting heavy all the time. But you need a squat.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to get your people to get the most benefit out of what you're doing... You need to be squatting, and you should probably be squatting at least once a week, every single week.
Yeah.
In some way, shape, or form, or fashion.
Yeah.
We can argue about all the different programs, but
you need to be squatting. Intensities.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all.
And we're not talking 200 air squats in a MedCon. That's not what we're talking about. You need to throw some weight on your back, teach yourself how to brace, teach yourself how to mentally focus every rep, teach yourself how to take the barbell off the rack properly, teach yourself how to breathe. That's a big part of what we do.
Yeah, it's crazy to me. Like, people talk about power cleans. They'll talk about, you know, snatches. And they'll talk about all this other stuff. But then you ask them, when was the last time you just did a basic squat? And they'll look at you like, oh, I don't know. I haven't done a squat cycle in forever. And I'm like, well, what are you squat snatching for? Let's worry about getting your basic squat up first. Yeah. And then we'll worry about everything else.
It helps everything.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And it's crazy to me that people don't... squat more often.
Yep. I got my son right now, he's pitcher, he's a freshman. He wants to get stronger. So he went through his little weightlifting program with the school, you know, they did their fall baseball weightlifting program. You know, he knows what he's supposed to do, so I told him, obviously I don't want to intrude on what to do. So I'm like, do whatever coach asks you to do, but just don't do anything stupid. Like, don't be getting caught up with the meatheads doing dumb and get yourself hurt.
Yeah.
Just move well. Move like we show you over here. You know, I get it. You're going to be with the dudes and you're going to want to lift some weight, but don't do anything stupid. But now that the season's over, I was like, hey, he's like, I want to lift. I want to get bigger. I want to get stronger. So I got him doing 20 rep squat program now.
Yep.
So we just started him at like 80 pounds. So we just, 75 pounds. And we're just adding 5 pounds every week. Do once a week, we do 20 reps. We work up to like a heavy double or triple, and then we drop down like with good form. I get him to a heavy double or triple with like his best form possible, not like a 3 rep max, just good solid triple. And then we drop down and we do a 20 rep. So we started at 75, 80, 85. Now he's moved 90 this week, better than he moved 75 the first week.
Yep.
Just because his body's getting used to like bracing correctly, thinking about doing it, mentally getting tougher. He's breathing better because he's getting experience under the bar. And the whole time he's building core strength. He's building leg strength. Like, for, I feel like a kid that age, that's the best program for like, either like a newbie an older person who's a newbie or like a teenage kid, because it's simple.
Yep.
If we, you know, make them air squat, make them goblet squat, make sure they move well, then throw a barbell on their back, start nice and light, tough it out for 20 reps, we're good for them. Come back the next week and wait. Come back and you can do that for a long time with a newbie.
Yep.
And they'll develop good movement patterns, mental toughness. They'll get stronger. Their core will get stronger. Their legs will get stronger. I think that would be, man. I love the 20 rep.
Yeah.
The more I talk about it, the more I want to do it. throw it out at people. Like, everybody will hate me, but
you know, one thing, you know, that we don't talk about enough, in my opinion, too. Like, again, watching people, especially on social media right now, with all the
what video sent to me.
All right, so sorry about that. So we're just talking about like accessory work and things that people are missing. Like, people ask me all the time about their you know, squats and their squat numbers and everything else. And one thing I always ask them is, where are you failing? You know, that's the first thing I'll ask them. And, okay, are you failing your squat because, you know, you're failing your squat at the bottom, you're failing your squat at the top, where are you failing your squat? And a lot of people can't tell me where they're failing. And right that is, you know, sign for me that, hey, you need to pay attention. You know, you videotape everything you do, now's the time to start videotaping where you're failing your squat.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you want to be better at squatting, you got to fix that accessory work to match where you're failing in your squat videos. Because eventually we're all going to fail, you know, at some point, some weight. Now we have to know where it is that we're failing our squats, you know. And so now we have to build our accessory work around that squat or the portion of the squat that we're failing. You know, if you're missing at the top, you got hips and glutes, you know. If you're failing at the bottom, you know, quads and hips, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, I think one thing, I agree with you 100%, and what I try to tell people is, if you can't tell me where you're failing, you're not paying attention to what you're doing, right?
Yeah.
But whether there's video or not, like, I'm big on, like, I talk about it all the time. I say, oh, this is mental. Like, my athletes will make fun of me because I use the word mental so much, but I mean it not so much in, like, if I tell myself I can do it, but, like, no, you really need to be focused in on what you're doing, right? Like, when we go to do a heavy squat, it starts before you take the barbell off the rack. How many times do I see people step in, their feet are staggered, they're kind of leaned over, and they're going to take a one rep max weight off the rack, like, in a compromised position? I'm like, you're done already. You failed the squat before you even took it off the rack, right? Like, you need to get in under the bar, brace, take the bar off strong. Like, that, it all starts in the mind before the rep even starts. And if you can't focus on it that way, you're never – and I'm not saying, like, I'm never going to be the best squatter in the world. But I'm gonna get my best squat possible because I can force myself to focus on all those things. And that takes practice. Like, I tell people all the time, I use this phrase all the time, treat every rep like a one rep.
Yep.
Right? So when you're taking the bar off the rack for your 5x5, you should be taking the bar off the rack, come underneath, big good breath, brace correctly, take it off strong, big back, big core, just like you would a one rep.
Yeah.
Right? And then you finish your set like that, and you put the bar back the same way. If you're not doing that, you're never going to be prepared for that time that you have to go for that weight that may, you know, shut you down.
Yeah, I see it all the time. Like, people grab 95 pounds out of the rack, and then just lazily start squatting, and then it's just like, look how poorly you're moving right now.
I hate
it. Like, that's, you know, one thing that separates a good baseball player from a great baseball player is every time they step in the batter's box, it's the same thing every single time. And it's not so much superstition. It's about creating a pattern that every time you get in there, you're going to take every at-bat seriously. Every time, every pitch, every play. It doesn't matter.
It's funny you say that. Like, my son, when he goes to pitching lessons, his pitching coach is very good at what he does, and he's good at what he does because of what you just talked about. My son gets on the mound, and he goes through dry reps without even touching the baseball for like 20 minutes just to practice, like, doing a proper rep every time.
Yeah.
Every time. That's before he even starts playing catch, right? It's the same thing we're talking about.
Yeah.
Taking a bar out of the rack. Like, you have to be intentional about what you're doing.
Yeah. I tell people a lot, you 95 pounds can break your back just as easily as 400 pounds. Mm-hmm. If you're not taking it seriously and there's no brace core, you're going to get hurt. And then over time, you set yourself up for relaxy-daisy squats. 95 pounds turns into 115. 115 turns into 135. Next thing you know, you're going in there with 200 pounds on your back with a laxy-daisy squat, and you're going to get hurt.
100%.
And then you're going to wonder why your movement pattern's gone to crap, why your back's tweaked, why you're good morning your squat. You know, it all starts out of the rack. And if you don't go into the rack with an intent that I'm going to squat this with perfect movement patterns, what makes you think that if you don't go in 135 or 95 pounds or even 65 pounds out of the rack with a quality movement pattern, what makes you think that you're going to put max load on your back or even 80% on your back and then it's all going to magically start moving well?
Yep. That's why I love dynamic effort stuff, because see, when you're dealing with dynamic effort weights, you're usually in a weight that I could take it out of the rack and just kind of go through the motions and squat it fairly well. But if I'm squatting for a certain speed or velocity, when I take that bar out of the rack, I really got to focus on like, boom, all right, I'm braced. I'm going to come down. I'm going to explode through this rep. And if I'm not thinking about all those things, I can't do that.
Yep.
That's just going to be an average squat. So even though it's lighter weight, it's forcing you to have intent.
Yep.
And that's why, like we started off the show talking about it. That's why I think that stuff is the best. It teaches athletes how to focus. And that carries over to when you go heavy.
Yeah. And for me, it's a mental confidence test. As I go in there, if I know I moved 85% really well, then I know a new one rep max is right around the corner.
Bro, that goes back. You were hitting on it before when you talked about like doing a 12-week cycle and then you might get a 5-pound PR, you might not.
Yeah.
And then it's disappointing. That's another reason I love the squat cycles that I'm talking about. I don't even call it a cycle. It's just
no,
a routine.
It's yeah.
Because I can look at my athletes and pretty much tell. But what you just said is the key. Like, I could tell if Matt Bielsi is squatting 80% for 8x3 today and he's moving the bar like this, I'm like, boom, next week I'm going to have him max out.
Yeah.
Because I could see it. And then there's other people where I'm like, no, they must be really stressed out outside of here. They normally move this bar way faster. It looks like shit. And I just know it's just that week.
Yep.
But they're not ready to. If I told everybody, hey, next week is max out week, I'd be a fool to think that they're all going to hit it based off what I'm watching.
Yep.
Right? So I'll tell my people, like I said, we're going to max out on Monday. For everyone that has been there routinely recently, I'll be able to tell when they're warming up who's going to PR or not. That sounds cocky, but I'll be able to by watching them. Some of them haven't been there routinely for the last few weeks, so it is what it is. But the people who have been on the last 6 weeks, I will be able to tell, like when we get around 70-80% range, I could kind of point out and pick who's gonna do, like hit a pretty good number that day.
Yeah. I stress that all the time with our athletes. You know, you got to move, you know, every week with intent, with every repetition, every set has to be the same intent in your head, what you're doing, when you're squatting, why you're squatting, you know, and then because you can't go in there on a Monday and think that you're going to one rep max, and then but Friday you played it like crap. Yep. You know, Friday you didn't care, Monday's going to go to crap.
Yep.
You know, so it doesn't matter what cycle you used, and that's why I like doing these 3-week waves personally, because if I did 30 days of squatting, man, if I feel like crap that week,
yep.
That last week, then I'm screwed.
Yep.
You know, I wasted 30 days of squatting. This 3 week, I can mentally check out and sit there and say, okay, let's reset. Let's go to different squat cycle, or you know, deadlift cycle or snatch cycle, whatever the case may be. I can change it up midway through without wasting too much time in the training volume altogether.
Yep. But just to get back on the topic, what you were talking about accessory work, then you hit on something else. You said, you know, somebody could good morning a squat up. I know what you're talking about. So for anybody that doesn't know what Matt's talking about, he's talking about it's kind of when you get bent over halfway in your squat and you're basically doing a good morning to get the bar up. But that just clicked on me when you talked about accessory work. So when we talk about intent, I do a lot of good mornings because I feel like you cannot do a good morning if you're not focused.
Yep.
Right? So good mornings, one, I think they're great because they strengthen your core more than anything. But two, they really make you focus on what you're doing.
Yep.
Right? You have to use your core. You have to use your back. You have to use your hamstrings, your glutes. Like, you have to use everything. if you're not totally focused on good mornings, unless it's just like an empty barbell, you run the risk of doing really shitty reps or maybe even hurting yourself.
Yep.
Which I obviously we don't want anyone to get hurt, but we use good mornings all the time. Seated good mornings, regular good mornings, sandbag good mornings. I try to vary them, but I think that is the best piece of accessory slash strength work you can do for what we're talking about, to make people focus on what they're doing.
Yeah, for sure. Good morning is like one of those king movements that people, a lot of people just bypass, and I think are just missing out on tremendous, you know, benefit from them.
It goes to a lack of, like we talked about, it's a lack of knowledge. People have no, they like to work out, they get involved in CrossFit, and they think, well, I'm a big time CrossFitter. But like, if you shun the good morning, you really have never looked into strength training, period.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, one of my favorite lifters, Chuck Vogelpohl. I mean, he has that Vogelpohl, if you will.
Yep.
And then I know people were making fun of it for a while, because I saw like one girl she went viral on one of the social media platforms because she was walking around with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, no, that's actually like legit tool.
Yep.
Like that is a tool, and it's a very, very valuable tool. And if you see a lot of his videos, he's spending most of his time in that good morning bent over position, just strengthening his lower back, strengthening his glutes, strengthening his hips. And he's also one of the most dominant power lifters of all time.
Dude, I think he's on record with like a 450-pound seated good morning with like his chest to the bench.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's absurd.
It's unbelievable, that man's lower back strength.
But people see you do a good morning with 135 and say, what is wrong with you? You're going to get hurt. Like, no. Try it.
Yeah.
Obviously, gradually work your way up there, but try to implement the good mornings and do them correctly and actually figure out the movement and find out what the benefit is.
Yeah. I mean, what's crazy to me is, like, especially a lot of Olympic lifting coaches I've seen, they spend so much time talking about positions, talking about, you know, the pulls on the lifts and everything else. But I remember asking a couple of them one time about good mornings, and a lot of them say they don't do them, or they'll do them every now and then. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, well, that's, you know, that's why athletes can't maintain that lumbar curve, or they can't maintain a good position in their first and second pulls of their clean and snatch, because their lower back's weak.
Yep.
You know, if you stop for a second and just did some good mornings, you'd be tremendous, you know.
Yep.
And again, the carryover to squats is right there, you know.
Because what did you say? A lot of times when people break down, they good morning a squat.
Yep.
So my theory is, if our good mornings are strong, that point in the squat where you start to get leaned over into a good morning, we're going to put that off further and further.
Yep.
So instead of that, let's just use flat numbers. Instead of that weight that's going to break you in half being 200 pounds, if I have your good morning strong, that weight's going to become 250. And if we can get that stronger, that weight's going to become 275. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Because we're ahead of the curve there.
Yeah.
I'm boom. I'm not doing a good morning yet. I'm ready for this position.
Yeah, exactly.
And eventually you're going to find out where that happened.
Yeah, exactly. You don't find yourself in that position as often.
Yep.
Because you know what that position feels like. You know when your butt's rising too early. You know when your chest is dropping too fast. And you're able to fight that position a whole lot more.
Yeah, you're strong enough to get to stay against it.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's such a valuable tool that I think a lot of people are missing in their squat programs.
100%, I agree with that.
So, yeah.
Have you done the 5-3-1 before?
I've done 5-3-1. I've done Hatch. I've done, obviously done Conjugate. I've done the 12-week squat cycles. I've done, again, 5-3-1 I thought was one of the best squat little programs out there that I did. What I found over time for me going more to a conjugate style system was better for me, but I can't take anything away from that 5-3-1 system.
I agree. I think you're similar to me. Well, I think you probably found what I found is the conjugate helps us maneuver around everything else we need to do.
Yeah.
But if you told me I just needed to get really strong here a little bit, and that's all I needed to do, I might go with that 5-3-1 for a little bit too, because I feel like that really...
Well, crazy concept. Jim Wendler was a Westside athlete. You know, so it's like these guys all come from the same background.
What I like about 5-3-1 too is it, you can, the same thing I was, you know, similar to what I was talking about with that 20 rep, you can mentally challenge yourself each day.
Yeah.
Basically, with that last set where you go for the 5+ or the 3+, you know, like, yo, today I'm going to get 8 of these. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's not just a flat number you're sitting at. You have that last set to give you that mental challenge every time, which is kind of, you know, which I think is a cool aspect of that 20 rep.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, that's another thing I like about, you know, these 3-week waves and doing the absolute, you know, maximal strength method on Mondays, whether you're doing a 5 rep, 10 rep, 20 rep, whatever the case may be, you're going for that rep max. Just because we keep saying it, you know, the mental aspect of waking up on a Monday, I'm going in there and I'm going to give it all I got.
Yep.
First to start out the week, I'm going to give it everything I got. Whether I PR or not, you know, that's not really the big deal. The idea of going in there and I'm going to give everything I have on a Monday morning, it sets me up for the week for success.
Yep.
You know, and that's how we should go into every Monday. But we have a tendency in our society to Monday morning, it's just Monday, I don't care, you know, and then Tuesday you say the same thing.
Yep.
And then by Wednesday you're just burnt out. But rather, go in on Monday and say, I'm going to max out today. I'm going to give it everything I got. You know, so the mental aspect of the maximal effort method, I think, sets people up a whole lot better too.
Yep.
for the week, just period.
Yep. Same approach, but like, we don't, like I told you, we do the separate ways.
Yeah.
On Mondays and Fridays. We don't max out per se every Monday, but we come in and the very first thing we do is squat every Monday. It's the same idea.
Yeah.
Like, you have to come in ready to go. Like, you have to come in locked in, ready to go, ready to move the bar well. And it's for a lot of people, it's good. It keeps you focused. And then for some people, you know, let's say you had a rough weekend, it's a good reset right there. Like, all right, it's Monday. We're going to get these squats done. Let's get after it.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of us just, like, go out and party this too hard on one weekend, or you do stuff that, you know, doesn't really set you up for success for work Monday morning. But one thing you can control is the fact that you go into the gym and give it everything you got.
And get it done, yep.
You know? So, like I said, these are, you know, there's all types of different squat cycles out there. I wouldn't say one is better than the others. So long as you give it the percentage of work that it deserves to be put in, which is 100% every single time. Don't go in there with a half-ass attitude when you go into a squat cycle, whatever. Stop using Squattober as your excuse to set your new records for your squats. You should be squatting at least once a week, if not twice a week. Just to make your, you know, just to set your base up, you know, whether it's a back squat, front squat, overhead squat, whatever kind of squat you want to do, you should be squatting twice a week. You should be squatting more than what most of these programs out there are doing, in my opinion.
Yeah, and a lot of programs, they are putting, there is squats, but gyms are not putting the squats in there. They're just putting the med con in there.
Yeah.
Right? They're like, oh, let's take out this squat piece because we want to fit this long med con in. You're missing the boat right there, 100% missing the boat. Like, if you're following Mayhem, for instance, and I would say, just to piggyback what you said, all that stuff you just said is really important. But I think the most important thing is, whether it's Wendler, whether it's conjugate, like we said, 20 rep, whatever the case may be, you need to understand why you're doing what you're doing.
Yep.
I think that is one of the biggest things, and that is the biggest downfall. How many people go in the gym and they just like, oh, it's 5x5 back squats. They don't even ask what the percentage is. They have no clue. If there is a percentage, they add another 30 pounds.
Yep.
And they're doing, you know, and then a lot of times no one's even explaining it to them. So I think that is the biggest deal. Like, understand why you're doing what you're doing. And every single one of these squat programs has a reason behind it and has a method behind it. So if your gym or your coach is not explaining that to you, Google it. Every single one of these, you can Google. There's a shit ton of information. YouTube videos. Tons of experts out there giving you the information. Find out why you're doing what you're doing, and you will get better at it. If you're not getting better or getting stronger, it's because you're not doing it correctly, and you probably have not given any effort into finding out what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, 100%. Jim Wendler's still alive. Louis still alive. You know, Donnie Thompson, they're all still alive. Their videos are out there.
Yeah, and they have thousands of people who... who've done their stuff, and they'll, and they explain it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the videos are there. All it takes is a quick YouTube search, and you'll find out exactly why you're doing something, when you're doing it. You know, it's a lot of people, they don't ask questions. They just go in there, and then they can just get upset when they don't get results.
Yep. One of the things I hate the most is when I see like a post or something, and people are like, I haven't squatted in 3 months, but I got to my 90% today, and I'm like, why the hell haven't you squatted in 3 months? Like, you know, unless there's an injury or something, but then obviously if you, so that's not the case, because if you were injured, you wouldn't be at your 90% all of a sudden.
Yep.
So you have been working out, right? So there's like, you cannot, nobody can explain to me why you haven't squatted in 3 months.
Yeah, it's right? Ridiculous.
And but it's there, and it's common, and it, like you said, ridiculous is a great word.
Well, Joe, I appreciate you coming out today. Hopefully people learned a little bit about, you know, different types of squat cycles, what might work for them. Again, you can always find these videos on YouTube, the Jim Wendler conjugate, you know, whatever, the 20 rep sets, hatch cycles, whatever cycle you want to try, make sure you're giving that 100% effort into whatever squat cycle you decide is going to work best for you. So, Joe, again, appreciate you coming out. Hope you all enjoyed, and see you next time.
You too, man.